by any means necessary.
I have a dream. Satisfied as long as the Negro is the fifth victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. I have a dream.
And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary. That's what you and I are, Africans.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? The most respected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. Then the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
I can't move. You can't move.
Why can't I move?
You're paralyzed. Just like that day when you did nothing. You did nothing. Now you're in
the
sunken place.
Hello, welcome to Kanye Truth Teller. This is Kanye Tetsubo. And I want to do a follow-up to what a previous episode from the first season about being a black security. Now, being a black security guard in the workforce is not easy. Because, first off, you still go through racism, if not more, when being a black security. They expect you to lay down your life for white people or other groups of people and protect them over protecting yourself. They say that they want to make sure that you're safe at the same time, but we all know it's not true. They don't care about black people or black bodies. You can see by the way they treat the workers. And the story that I'm going to be talking about today is about the last place I worked at. Because many people wanted me to talk about this. They wanted me to write it as a story, but I don't think writing it as a story would do it justice. It would be more like something you have to tell for you to get the picture of how twisted this place was and how they tried to be racist and keep their racism undercover And I don't mean try. They were racist. And, but what I'm really trying to say is that they tried to keep it under wraps. They tried to make it seem like we are not racist. We love all people. And look at our workforce. We have many black workers who are also minorities. So that's the card that they tried to play with me. But of course, that's not going to fall from. I'm not going to fall for that. So it starts when I was working at this other company. At that company, I was being paid $8 at certain locations, $9 at certain locations, and $11 at certain locations. I didn't think nothing of it. I thought that's what the starting rate for most security were. So I was docile to it, I would say. Because the place I originally worked at first in this company, they paid $8 before they started moving me around. The reason why I ended up leaving that place was many, many reasons. One reason was the Hispanic workers, they had me doing their job. They were supposed to be teaching me what to do. But instead of that, they just pretty much had me doing their job. So this is what happened. It was a Friday night, and they had me pretty much with the second shift manager. I was supposed to be walking around with her and getting to know the property and everything that you do on the second shift. That sounds fine, cool, and dandy. Until you see what the manager actually looks like. And the best description I can give you is she was one of those white Hispanics who want to be black so bad. She had braids in her head that were so small and so tight. You literally just, you could see her veins popping out. And I'm just walking behind her like, dang. That looks tacky and messy. And on top of it, it was blonde. And it was like, wow. You really trying to be black? And then she would talk with a slang. And you could tell it was not natural. It was just not natural at all. It was just one of those moments where you're trying to keep a serious face because you don't want to laugh at the person because this person is technically the one who could fire you also. And it was just difficult to keep a straight face because she looks like a straight up clown talking in this accent and with those braids in her head. It was not easy to keep a serious face and to be serious around that person. So she ends up at a certain time passing me off to another person in the garage area. And it was cool because he was black and we ended up talking about some things that dealt with racism on the property. And he was pretty much telling me about that second shift manager, how he doesn't like her. And so it was cool. And this is also where I met a close friend of mine who I had to defend because what they was trying to do to her, or what they at least did to her, I felt was wrong in my soul because it dealt with family. And I'm a big believer in family, pretty much, because I pretty much have a brother who's autistic. The guy who I was working with has a autistic grandson, and her children are autistic. So what they did to her and how they were talking about her children, I felt was unprofessional and wrong. And sad part is that this was from the property manager. And the sad part is she's an older woman and she's black. So I did not like what they is doing to her, and she did it around other groups of people, not just other black workers, but it was mainly the main people who were laughing and getting a kick out of it were the white and Hispanic workers. They were just hee hee ha ha laughing at this woman's pain and what she is going through, and pretty much saying that she possibly is feeding her kids some stuff, Freon, that you use in your car or even in your refrigerator, that the stuff that keeps it cool. They were saying that she possibly feeding them Freon just to keep them sick, when in fact that her children have autism. So back to what happened that night. After they passed me off to the man in the garage, they end up, after I say lunch, passed me off to another worker. This coworker was Hispanic. They had me walk around with her upstairs, and they basically showing me how to check the room, not the corridors, for packages that were left by either UPS, FedEx, and you know, those different things. And then she had me sit down at the podium. She was telling me that any guests that come, they have to sign in or call the person apartment to come down to verify that this is their guest and that they come in. So she tells me that and says that she'll be right back, that she's going to go get a bottle of water. Few minutes go by, I'm sitting there, nothing's happening. I start to see a crowd, and this crowd is starting, because I guess this place had like a bar and a comedy club inside a hotel / condominium type of place. So they would have like live shows there, mostly for Hispanic people, because that's all the audience were that I've seen going in. And from when I was reading the posters and the scheduling, it was just mostly for Hispanic people. And it was like, wow, they are catering to their people hard. So that didn't bother me. It's what happened during that time that bothered me. I'm sitting there, minding my business. No one's coming to go upstairs. And people who were going upstairs, they had access key. So there were no guests. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just trying to pay attention to my surroundings, because that's one thing that they tell you as a security, to pay attention to your surroundings, because you never know what can happen at any moment. And I look up and I see this either Hispanic or Russian guy looking at me, and you could feel the intensity of hatred for me in his eyes. You can tell. And he just staring at me hard. And it was, for me, it was not uncomfortable, because I'm used to that. They're not used to seeing black people like me in their areas. We'll air quote. Because the hotel, it was like a hotel / condominium, like I said. And the majority of the people who lived there were Hispanic or white. You had other races who lived there, like a few Asians that I've seen. It also had a school there too, college kids from different nations around the world. And I seen this African guy trying so hard to fit in with these other groups of people who did not look like him. He didn't even look like the type to smoke a cigarette, and he pretty much was trying to fit in so hard that he started smoking. When they started smoking, when they left, he left. It seemed like wherever they went, because they were the main ones, he was behind them. That's where, wherever they went, he went, pretty much. So, as I'm sitting there, you have this guy staring at me. 1 minute passed, 2 minutes passed, 3 minutes passed. She still has not come back from getting this bottle of water. 4 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour passed. Still does not get the bottle of water. So they called me down to go on a second break. And as I'm going down there, I see her laughing. Because where it was at was not really a long walk. It's just a few flights of stairs. That's it. Just a few. And it would not take a person who walks really fast or even slow that long, because it was a big property, but where we were at, it really was not that much of a big difference. You could have took your time and still you could have got that water and been boom, boom, done. No, she was down there with that supervisor laughing and giggling. They're watching Netflix on their phone and just having a good old time while I was basically just doing her job for her while she's sitting down there laughing and giggling with that supervisor. And like I said, I ended up leaving that place because of what they did and said about this person. Because the next incident happened on that Saturday. It was Wednesday. The head supervisor first say, "I'm off that Wednesday." So, as what you do, you go out, you try to relax, you have fun. And then she tries to call me in on that same Wednesday where I'm not home, where I'm enjoying myself. And then she tries to get a coworker to call and say that they're feeling sick and they get me in. But again, I was not home. I was nowhere near my house. Where I'm taking the bus mostly at this point, because it was convenient to save money to take the bus rather than trying to Uber myself somewhere. And so after that, she comes up with the new schedule, and that new schedule where she said I was off Saturday and Sunday, she now puts me on Saturday and Sunday, where I have to work a 10 to 2 shift, letting people in have access to the pool area. Basically, when I get there, they say no one is to go by you without having a card key. You have to look them up in the system, and then they could go enjoy themselves at the pool. So I'm doing my job, and I'm asking these people for their card keys. Some are agreeable. They're showing me it. I'm looking them up and giving them back their car key and saying, go on. And others, they have issues with it. They refuse to give me the car key. So what they do, they go to that second shift supervisor who is now working on Saturdays as the first shift. They go to her. They go to the other girl who made me work her shift. And they start yelling at me over the radio to just let these people through, even though they told me that I'm supposed to get all these people access. So after that, I just said, F it. I'm just going to let everybody through. I don't care at this point. And I eventually get so frustrated. I leave my walkie-talkie, and they're trying to call me over it. But obviously, I don't have it at that moment because they're establishing a set of rules and breaking their set of rules at the same time. So at that moment, I don't care about that job. I just let people do what they want to do. If they wanted to just let people through, they could just let people through. They didn't really need my job for that. They didn't really need me there for that. But then the supervisor yells at me over the radio saying, if people didn't want to do their job, they should not have done it. So my mouth gets me not in trouble, but if I would have stayed longer at that location, it possibly would have gotten me in trouble. But I end up yelling back through the microphone that I did not sign up for this, that I was given it by the head account manager. After that, she pretty much didn't reply back. And for me, it didn't feel like a win or a loss. It was just me being me, and because no one, in my opinion, was just going to talk to me any kind of way after I had my Saturday taken from me. So after that, I come in for that Sunday shift, and I do my job, and pretty much that's it. I ain't have no problems. Well, at least problems that I could not see. Because you had one worker there who seemed to have an issue with me. Because I don't know. She was Haitian. I'm Black. And it seemed like this woman just did not like me at all. And even to this day, I cannot figure out why. She would not speak to me for anything in this world. I could say hello, good morning, and she would just stare at me as if I'm the enemy. So it's like I said, I left that location after that whole incident with this person whom I become great friends with. So months pass. I end up back at the place trying to get another, I guess you say, supervisor for me, because the way it works is you go to the main headquarters. They assign you a account manager, and they pretty much then send you to these different locations, and from there you just do your shift and you leave. But at that particular location that was at, there it was like a, that person was the account manager, because she has worked there for such a long time and knew the location pretty well. So they pretty much, anyone who was sent to this guy, he would send you to her, and she would tell you if you're hired or not. While with the other people, they don't do that, because they pretty much just sent you anywhere. And this is where the issue of pay came in. Because when I went back, that's when they was paying me $8. But they were trying to say that was just at certain locations. At other locations, I was being paid $9. And when I was working high school football games, this is where the truth came out, where I was being ripped off. And I believe it was because I'm Black, or they at least thought I was Haitian, at least. And at the football games, I was being paid $11. And those football games were short, because they were high school football games. So then it was like I wasn't really making any money at all, to be honest. So when I'm telling the woman there about that, the person who had the report to, she pretty much showed me her pay stub, and her pay stub showed that she was being paid at every single location, whether she moved around from one location to another location to another location. It was $11 no matter what. She was Jamaican, and an old classmate of mine's, whom I was very surprised to see, she too, Jamaican, was being paid $11 at every location that she worked at. And it seemed like they were paying everyone who was Jamaican $11, while Haitian people $8 to $9. Because they had me at this construction site for this new apartment building or condos. It was an overnight shift. Usually when you're working an overnight shift, you're supposed to be paid extra. But no, it was only worth $9 when they had me working at this building in our downtown. And this was in the morning time, and I had to do one overnight. I was being paid for both of those $8 only. I asked one of the workers at this building, what was she being paid? Because I was curious. She's not Jamaican, but she was from the islands. She had a very heavy accent, but she was very sweet. And she was being paid $8 as well. So it seemed like this company, even though most of the workers, a majority of the workers, including the people that's sending us out to these different locations, were Haitian or Jamaican, we, the workers, were being paid cheaply. Even when they had us working with the Jewish Federation here in Miami, they would pay us $8 or $9 for these high-end events that had rich Jewish people. And you would think that at these type of events, we'd be getting paid at least $13 or $19 per hour for these events. But we weren't. We were just being paid minimum wage at these events. So months later, I had found myself at another company, a different location. I'm getting paid this time $13.50 an hour. And this is where it gets even crazier with the whole pay. Because it was at an outdoor mall where you're being paid $13.50 to stand around and to observe and to make sure nothing is going on. And the way they operate was you stand, once the shift begins, 15 or 30 minutes after that, you start your first break. After you come back from your break, you stand around some more. Then you go around 9 or 10. You go around your last break because you obviously have a lunch in between and then your last break. So we got three different breaks for standing up for a whole 8-hour shift, pretty much. And it sounds like it's fine, but it's honestly not. It's Miami. It's going to be some racial issues. And there was, because the security guards on the inside of the stores were being paid at a different rate than us. We were a different company. We were being paid at a different rate. And then there was another, I would say, a secret security group working out there being paid at a different rate than us. So there was at least three or four different security groups working out there, but only two of them were seen, really. Because when I would be in their dispatch, and you can't help but see this stuff, I would see a whole other security group calling our company. So it was like, why is a whole other security company calling us? Because it turned out our company took over that location. So you would think, okay, once you take over a location, they don't have no need to call here for anything. There would be no reason to call. But yeah, they were. And that was suspicious to me. Because the valet parking, the people that worked there, they pretty much was saying how there is untreatment and unfairness even within their ranking, where a Hispanic or white valet will do certain stuff. They have crashed cars. They have stolen from their clients. They have just done the worst of the worst. And yet many of those people were fired and rehired because they were Hispanic. Or they were fired and just sent somewhere else permanently to work, but they were still within that same company. They looked out for their own. And this is coming from the Haitians valet drivers out there. This is what all they're telling me. And even with our company of security, they're telling me that this is how that district work. I would say district. Many people in Miami should know by the location what I'm talking about. But hell, I might as well say it anyway. It's Miami Design District. It's a high-end outdoor mall that is racist. And many black people I've seen out there. I've seen old classmates out there. And I've seen rich celebrities out there. And it's nice, I will say. But when you start to realize at what price did this place come, you realize that this place is evil in itself. It's evil incarnated down to the owner himself gentrifying the area. Because where the Miami Design District now stands used to be a black neighborhood. This black neighborhood used to be someone's house, someone's home, and they've cleared it out for these high-end like clothing stores and restaurants that people could barely even afford. And the account manager, he claims that one of the property managers isn't racist. But this is what happened. My first week working there, they sent me the first day out there. No real help or anything. So basically, they just threw me to the wolves. And I'm getting asked all these different questions about where this is at, where is that at, and I have no help at all. The supervisor, he is off somewhere. He was a real nice guy, and I appreciate him, honestly. He eventually was later fired and replaced by this Hispanic guy because a worker did not do what they were supposed to do. They did not listen to him. But how is he supposed to have any control over that? How is he supposed to have tell this person basically what to do and expect them to do it? Well, of course, yeah, they are supposed to, but they didn't. And that resulted in him being fired rather than that worker being fired instead. And he was replaced right after that, immediately, by a Hispanic worker. So it seemed, honestly, like they were just looking for any old reason just to fire him. Like it was just premeditated. Like they didn't need a reason. They just, and even if they didn't have a reason, they still were possibly more likely going to fire him. So he was fired. And pretty much everybody, all the workers, felt that that was unjust. Because he was black and then he was replaced by this other guy. And that's just how it is. We should not be surprised by things like that. But back to my first day. My first day, I'm being asked all these different questions. I'm writing down my notebook, the important stuff. I'm trying to write down store names and store numbers to be able to keep up with this. And that's the trend that I was trying to do. Trying to learn the district by writing stuff down. And one day, while on shift, as I'm trying to write down the names of the different stores in this in that particular area, because I've only worked at that part of the district once, and after that, it was pretty much they had me on the street level. So when they finally sent me back there, I still did not know the names of the stores because some stores did not have the names on like. Either in the glass or above them, like most of the places, most of the stores out there. So that was awfully confusing. And as I'm writing down these things, one of their property managers walks up to me and he first asked me, he first introduced himself. And after that, he pretty much asked me, am I writing lyrics down in my notebook? Now, I remember the name. So it was like, so I tried to be as respectful as possible. Because it was like, what? Did you just ask me? Am I writing down lyrics? Like, what kind of racist mess? It just took me aback. It really, that was the first time I could ever say I was caught off guard by something. So, of course, I say no. Because, obviously, I'm trying to write down the different stores and learn the store workers' names. Because a lot of them have asked me in the future wise to call our dispatch and ask them certain things. And the dispatch would like to know who's the worker, what's the name of that worker. So I would have to give that worker's name at the same time. So after I said no, he asked me, am I taking notes? I say yes. And he's trying to look inside my notebook at that moment. And he then just walks away, tells me about what my job should be. But the thing is, we had security already on the street. I'm pretty much in the back, in the plaza. There's a security already walking the street area. So, and I was just taken aback by it. It just honestly caught me off guard. And after he tells me what my job should be and what I should be doing, he walks away, and pretty much I just start trying to walk and take a quick note of what just happened and the day that it happened, because if I was going to be fired for something like that, I was going to make sure I wrote down my side of the story real fast first. So he goes and tells the head supervisor, and they had me sent home early that day. So after that day, I come back. They supposedly did write it up. But months later, it comes out that they did write it up, that they didn't lose the paperwork. They never really lose the paperwork. They were trying to cover themselves too, because the people who mostly worked in dispatch at that time were Hispanic. So of course they're going to cover themselves too. Everybody is going to cover themselves. That's the name of the game. Cover your tail. And look out for your own. The name of that property manager, his name is Karim. And it turns out he was Hispanic. And pretty much just after that, they just made a joke out of it. And a lot of the security, they was telling me that I should sue him for that, because that was just absolutely disrespectful and racist, because everybody felt that that was a racist attack on me to ask me, am I writing lyrics in my notebook? So we even brought up the example about, I bet you if it were someone white or Hispanic, he would not ask them that. He would ask them straight up, are you writing, taking down notes? Which is true. If I were white or Hispanic, he more than likely would not have asked me that. So a month or so go by, and more racist things happen to me out there, where these people are asking me, and we know it's because I'm black. We're not going to just assume that they're asking me these things because I'm a security guard. We know, because that's what they expect from black people. They was asking me, one group of people, I believe tourists or so, were asking me, where can they find a smoke shop at? A day later, they are asking me, where can they get some liquor from? And in both these cases, they're all smiling and laughing and just having a good old time. And I'm just saying that with a blank face on. Like, really? Did you just ask me the most racist question ever? Where can I find a smoke shop? Or where can I find a liquor store? Like, so I guess all black people smoke or drink. That's just your perspective and of us. And that's all we do, every single last one of us. I guess we all just reflect one another and do these things. But yeah, those were some of the stuff that was asked to me. And when Prada first put out those keychains with the monkey and the lips, I first saw that working on second shift one day. And then I called over another black worker Because I thought I was hallucinating. I thought I was seeing things. And I say, what does that look like to you? And they're like, they wanted to say what they wanted to say, but they just couldn't put their finger on it. So I pull up off my phone a picture of blackface. And that's when it just clicked in their mind that, oh my God, yeah, that looks like blackface. And then these group of white women, they looking inside the store and they're talking about, oh, cute keychains. I like that monkey right there with the red lips. And I'm just like, wow, y'all racist. Y'all, it's just ingrained so well into y'all society that something racist in your face and you think it's cute. Wow. And the many times while working out there, when they opened up their restaurant in the area that I liked being at, because it was more secluded from the main group of people, I would see a ton of swirlers go to these restaurants. It was rare that I did see a black couple go there, like a group of black people or a black couple, a group of friends, all black. But no, it was more swirlers than anything. And I really want to ask a lot of these black men, like, why are you with this white or Hispanic woman with all this money that you have? Why couldn't you have chosen a black woman? And it wasn't just black men with white women. It was black women with white men or Hispanic men. It seemed like they're the ones that had the money, and the white person was the one who was poor or so. Like, they were there to treat them. But you can't. But, of course, they're not going to want to see what they have done as racist towards me. Because when I brought that up to the account manager, how his friend, who he'd known for 3 years, was racist, he did not want to see that. He pretty much just ignored it. I was basically just forced to leave from that location because of getting sick. But either way, I would have left because they were just racist, and they're paying us based off of how much the stores make. And if the stores don't make sales, then they don't have enough money to go inside their wallets to be able to pay us. It was so racist to the point out there that Craig, the owner of the district, from what I've been told, was paying the police off. And it made sense to me that he was paying the police off, because check this out. Whenever there was a theft at the store, the police would ignore us. We could be over the radios calling the police 1 minute past, 2 minutes past, 3 minutes past, an hour past. The person who stole the items out of the store, they get away. Now, granted, some of these people were black. And I say some, because they want us to look out for black people, because they felt like black people were the thieves. But let me tell you a little secret. This white guy in a, what's the car? I believe it was a Porsche. Yes, it was a purple Porsche. He stole from one of their high-end stores. And it's funny, they saying look out for black people because black people are thieves, but you have these rich people who have Porsches, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, etc., stealing from them. Versace, in my last days of working there, was robbed twice in the same week, not by black people, but by Hispanic people. Most of the thieves and thefts that was being created out there were not by black people. But those people who were not black, they caught them, the police did sometimes, and those people, they let go because they didn't want the area to be known as a high crime area, because this is how gentrification works and how they got, how they was able to acquire the land from these black people. When the area is high with crime, that raises the property values up. And once the property values are risen high, the people who live there cannot pay their mortgage or their rent because of how much crime has been in place in that area. And I believe crime was placed in that area of Little Haiti on purpose so he could buy that area for cheap. Because look at it. He was able to take a block, at least 5 or 6 blocks, and turn it into a mall, an outdoor mall. And that just rose up out of nowhere here in Miami. And you have to really look at it. Because you could, when you're in a car, when you're driving a car or even an Uber, you will see where the houses stop and end, and where the outdoor mall begins, and where all the high-end restaurants, clothing stores, all that comes in. It's literally one block away, separating them. That's from what I've seen, from where I was working there. For all I know, they could possibly buy in more crime, raise the rent on these people, raise the mortgage, and move these people out, and now trying to build more to it. But at these places, a lot of the black security officers have a code where we only talked amongst each other. And the reason why no one wanted to work New Year's Eve parties or any of those different type of things, because they knew and know how racist these people are. Less long. You want us to stay there one day. Literally. With the New Year's Eve, they will want us to be there New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. A whole 12-hour shift inside this one area, catering, securing these white and Hispanic people with money. And yeah, they say you could choose your hours, but why would we want to be there with these people? And they're drunk, they're high, and they're racist. That's the worst. What's worse than a regular, normal, sober racist? A drunk and high one. So no one really wanted to do those events. And if you did do those events, you pretty much try to rush home as fast as possible to get by, to leave that area, to get home, because that's how bad it was. And this is from what those who have worked there longer than I have were telling me. And even amongst our workers, I could see how little Hispanic workers we had to the black security workers. On one hand, I could count all the security officers who worked the street area and all the ones who worked in the dispatch area versus the number of black and Haitian workers. Well, technically, I would be considered the only black guy that was working there because majority of them were Haitian. But still, I saw it as a learning process, and we didn't see no one as any different. I saw them as my people. I like to believe they saw me as theirs. Even though I'm not Haitian, I still respect them to the fullest. I have to give mad props to those who worked there, even now. Because the work out there, knowing how racist it is and how you have this anger built up inside of you because of this place, you have to be strong to work out there. And I wish, honestly, we could have stuck together a lot more and not just said what we're going to do or just actually did it. But that's honestly my whole experience as being a black security guard. And even at this new company, it seems like I'm still dealing with the same issues where race is an issue, because the supervisor, she is also the account manager over 9 different locations. And I believe at one of these locations that's far away from me, where it's only $10 an hour that she wanted me to work at. I believe she wanted someone Hispanic to work there, because I admit the truth that what all she was telling me to do and wanting me to do was a little more difficult. Even though I've done that before at the first location, it's not something ideal that I would want to do, because most of the people that lived in this apartment building are Hispanic. I don't speak Spanish. I don't understand Spanish. So I'm not going to feel comfortable around them, especially knowing that this is Miami and they are racist. They are also the middle-aged to younger families of Hispanics. And I believe I only saw one black person leaving in the morning while I was there. So definitely would not feel comfortable, and on top of it, I would not have been able to communicate because they're Hispanic. So yeah, that's pretty much my experience as being a black security. I would say if you're going to be a security, you definitely will have to look out for these things, because they're not going to tell you that they are racist or show you within the first few days that they're racist. That stuff comes out over time. And they're not going to think of you as a human being and say that you should protect yourself, but they'll most likely think you should protect their people, and then just throw your life away for theirs when they would never do the same for you or yours. It's decent pay, but it's not ideal pay. You're just pretty much going to deal with racism in that type of line of work a lot, because you have to have you have to be seen. There is no way to be around that. They want customer service now. They want you to be friendly and nice, even if you're the meanest person in the world. But other than that, thank you for listening. This is Kenny Tetsubo, and thank you for supporting. You can also find more of the content on YouTube at The Uncanny. You can search us up in the search bar on YouTube at The Uncanny Truth Teller. And just thank you for supporting. Goodbye.